Each month we look forward to a time of meditating on one of the Old Testament Psalms, an opportunity to think about it in the context of the history of Reformation, or history of redemption, and especially to be thinking about how Jesus is on every page. And in Psalm 78, we'll be looking at this, and I'll be drawing your attention to two different aspects of this psalm that are especially indications of the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to identify them for you before I read it so that you can have your ears listening for it. I want you to listen for the water from the rock and the manna from heaven. And I'll be tying those into the New Testament and Jesus Christ. This is a longer psalm. I'm going to read it in its entirety, but I'm going to be focusing just on those two portions about the water and the bread of life that's given to us. Listen as I read Psalm 78. Contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens. By his power, he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desires. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, still they sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble, by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on in safety so that they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph, did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. As I said, Psalm 78 is used in the New Testament to call attention to the work of Jesus Christ to bring salvation to his people. The Bible often uses the Exodus experience as a spiritual lesson of the salvation of God for his people. That spiritual truth is one that you find coming up in many different places, and Psalm 78 really focuses on it. You hear him telling about Egypt, their captivity there, the mighty deliverance of God through the plagues that that God brought on Egypt. But this history, this history shows that salvation and redemption are not an easy story because of the waywardness of man's heart. How many times did you hear the psalmist say, and yet they forgot the Lord? They still were not mindful of the things that they had experienced, the mighty wonders of God. And so today, as I point out these two indications of Jesus, the point of the psalm is one that I would have you really take to heart, that the tendency of man is to forget the deliverance of Jesus Christ. So let's not shake our heads at the Israelites and how obtuse they were and how stiff-necked they were, but let's take to heart for ourselves that we need to remember Jesus who was slain for us. So two things that I'll specifically call your attention to. If you look at verses 15 and 16 and then verse 20, you'll see the rock that gives life-giving water. So in this psalm, there is a remembering of all of those mighty deeds that God brought on Egypt. So the children of Israel had seen the Nile turn into blood. They had maybe waded through the frogs that invaded the land. They had heard the cries of Egypt on the night that the angel of death passed through the land. And even though they walked through the parted waters of the Red Sea, even so they forgot the love and power of God when they came into the wilderness. Why was that? Well, they ran out of water. They became thirsty. And they began to complain bitterly against Moses and honestly against God. But the Lord had not forgotten them. And so he sent out Moses before the people. And in his hand, he had the staff of God's judgment that Moses had carried throughout all of those plagues, staff of God's judgment, so that the people could see that Moses was coming in an official capacity to render judgment. And the judgment that should have fallen on them for their complaints was instead turned onto a rock. As God said, strike this rock. And when he did that, it opened up and water gushed out, forming a stream that supplied water for all of the people. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul gives the illustration from the Exodus to show God's grace through Jesus Christ. You can read there later, but in verse 4, it says that God gave the children of Israel drink. They all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Rock was Christ. Now think of the vivid imagery, the rod of God's righteous judgment, which ought to fall on us as sinners, instead fell on Jesus and gives life-giving water to us. Second, bread from heaven. You can see this in verses 23 through 25, where it says, yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, and they had rained down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. Well, the setting here is that even after they had drank that water that the Lord provided, they still forgot God's goodness and complained against him. They said, sure, God gave us water, but can he give us food? And it wasn't said in a nice way either. This wasn't like the Lord's prayer, give us, O God, this day our daily bread. a prayer of faith and dependence. No, this was a taunting complaint. Yeah, he gave us water, but can't he give us food? And the Lord was furious with his people. Number of different places it says that. And yet, even so, in his mercy, God did provide bread. Once again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 cites this provision as evidence of God's mercy. They all ate the same spiritual food, which was the manna. And isn't this just an application of Jesus' own teaching when he fed the crowds? He even cites that Moses was not the one that gave them bread from heaven, but it was God himself. He says this, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And they were thinking of their bellies. He was speaking of himself. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of heaven. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." The two instances of Christ displayed here in the Exodus and an opportunity for us to be warned to not forget provision of God, his mercy, his grace. So think throughout this month as we sing these words of the water and bread of life, which are Jesus himself. And to quote Paul once more from 1 Corinthians 10, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." So we'll be singing throughout the month the C selection, which is the water of life. And throughout the month, we'll pick up the other aspects of the psalm. It is a long one that we'll sing throughout the month. Psalm 78, selection C. I invite you to please stand to sing.